Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. I can't believe I've reached episode 23 and we're only getting the sleeves rolled up on the topic of time management for the first time, because it's one of those topics that I work with clients and groups on very frequently. And I know in an earlier episode, we looked at work-life balance, which is a related topic. But this week, it's all about time management and sharing some cutting-edge tips with you. With any soft skill, enhancing time management and organizational skills, it's always about progression in a direction. You know, I'm constantly adding new distinctions to my list of time management tips. And in recent times, I've added a few more. I often find that it's the minor adjustments that make a bigger difference. So this week, I've many little tips and distinctions for you, but I want to start with some foundation blocks when it comes to time management and organizational skills. So we're going to start with the three foundation blocks of time management as I see it. And then I have some 10 cutting edge tips and distinctions to follow that up with. The first foundation block is all around the concept of trade-offs. You know, in these days of constant connection, never-ending to-do lists, when it comes to managing our time, there will always be trade-offs. If you're saying yes to staying and work until 7, you know, what are you saying no to? Maybe dinner with the children. If you're saying yes to an extra hour in bed, what are you saying no to? Well, maybe an hour of power or an hour going to the gym or an hour of self-care. When it comes to how we are managing our time, the key is to be fully aware of the decisions that we're making, the trade-offs, the opportunity costs, the long-term consequences of our actions. There are no absolutes, of course, when it comes to time management. As I say, everything in this area is about progression in a direction. But these are a few questions that I find helps to focus my mind when we're looking at, navigating the shades of grey, as I sometimes call it, because there is no black and white solutions. The three questions that I find useful. First one, what's the most important thing for me to focus on right now? We all know the word priority. It comes from the Greek or the Latin. I think it's the Greek, a priori, which means the most important. So strictly speaking, if something is the most important, there can only be one thing. So maybe the word priority cannot really be pluralized if there's only one most important thing. So great one when the brain is overwhelmed. What's the most important thing for me to focus on right now? It just helps to bring a little bit of discipline into play. What's the decision that's most aligned with my best self? Now, that might sound a little bit woo-woo, that one, but I often think that deep down we do know the right path or the right course of action or the right decision. And sometimes we just need to take a moment to reflect. And for me, I have a good sense of what my best self is. And that question just helps me align with it a little more. So it's almost like I'm taking myself out of the trenches, where my head is down, and maybe able to see the wood from the trees just a little more. And then the last question, a very powerful one, I've shared it in a few different contexts, is what approach would make me feel most proud about myself? That usually steers me towards my wisdom. Again, it may not be the easiest answer, but it's usually the one that feels most authentic to me. So those three questions to help determine priorities, trade-offs. What's the most important thing for me to focus on right now? What decision is most aligned with my best self? And what approach would make me feel most proud about myself? The aim here, of course, is to have our decision-making process about where we focus our time and our attention, to have that as conscious as possible. And of course, these trade-offs are not one-offs because it is an ongoing activity. The second foundation block, as I see it, of time management and organizational skills is the whole modern area of energy management. You can be the most organized, focused person, the most, structured person, but if you have no energy to give to the day, well, then not much is happening. When it comes to managing our energy, there's an acronym that I like to use, which is OWNER, O-W-N-E-R. And it's a neat reminder of the essentials. because we're all the owners of our own energy levels. So what does the O in owner stand for? The O is for oxygen. Sometimes we simply have to remember to breathe. Purposeful breathing paradoxically energizes us, but it also calms us down, and it can get us out of a busy head and back into the bodies, or back into our bodies, or out of thinking about the past or worrying about the future, and back into the present moment, the only place where we have control. So O is for oxygen. W for water, which brings us into the whole territory of hydration. When we're dehydrated, our concentration levels dip. I read a little while ago that for every 1% drop in hydration levels, we will have a 10% drop in concentration levels, because the focus is turning inwards to self-care. N is for nutrition. Now, I'm no nutritionist, but my broad rule of thumb here is that the more naturally colourful the food is, usually the better it is for me. The E in owner is for exercise. We all sort of know that sometimes we have to expend energy to create energy. I often think there's two types of tiredness, that sense of tiredness that comes when you have really, you know, worked your brain or worked your body for the day. And then there's just tiredness, a bit like the laptop. It's gone into shutdown mode because I haven't actually opened any programs on it. The R is for rest and relaxation, or to paraphrase the late Stephen Covey, he of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of those habits is around taking time out to sharpen the saw. I think the athletic term for that is oscillation, just time to rest and recover. So that second foundation block is all about energy management, and that little acronym of owner, I think, just helps us focus on what's important. The third foundation block is to-do lists. Now, maybe I should have started with this one. For me, a very basic threshold competency when it comes to time management is to have some sort of to-do list. The old phrase of ink it, don't just think it. It's not that we, you know, need to write everything down on a to-do list, but there's several benefits to it. We are able to track progress, and perhaps most importantly, we're able to clear the head a little, because it's not that we're trying to think of everything that we need to do. It's actually a bit more cumbersome than that, because we're constantly running thought patterns that go something like, I better not forget. So we're constantly working on trying not to forget something. Whereas if we ink it and don't just think it, it frees up headspace. We can have various different types of to-do lists. Of course, we can also have a not to-do list, which is an interesting one. You know, you identify what you're not going to do over the course of a week. And perhaps that brings us into the territory of working smarter, which always means identifying what you're no longer going to do. It was interesting, over the summer, I read a biography of Leonardo da Vinci. And he was a great man for lists. And one of them was a to learn list. So if he came across something that wasn't, that he didn't know enough about or was curious about, he would take a note of it and then come back to it. Of course, we can also have a to-be list, not just at a doing level, but at a being level. So a to-be list might include certain qualities or mindsets that you want to lean into more purposefully. A favourite list of mine is a subset of the never-ending to-do list. I call it a today list. What would I be happy completing today? Because let's face it, you know, our to-do list is never ending. Some items go on it as some items come off it. You know, it's constant. And one of the things that I like to do is, when I'm looking at my weekly to-do list, I note what would be good progress today. You know, what would I be happy completing today? Because it'll never really be completed. So let me break it down a little. And then, of course, anything above and beyond, you know, the 5 or 6 or 7 items that I've identified for my today list, anything above and beyond that then is a bonus. In simple terms, my to-do list has a happy to complete today segment. It helps in leaning away from the guilt and frustration that arises when we close the day with more on the to-do list than when we started, despite having worked a solid 7 or 8 hours. When I do workshops in this area, I often get a good laugh from the group when I ask for a show of hands for anyone who writes things on a to-do list after they've done it, for the pure pleasure of scribbling it out. And of course, many hands go up, mine included. I always say we're kindred spirits. But of course, we do that as a way to measure progress and to give ourselves that sense of achievement. So very basic stuff. One of the foundation blocks, having some sense of a to-do list. But as I say there's a few different variations of them. I also want to go through this week some quick tips. So I've pulled together 10 of my favorite quick tips in this area. There are many more that's available on my website, and there's various different videos and blog posts that I've done in this area as well. But this week's episode, I wanted to include 10 quick tips for time management effectiveness. Some are a little bit longer than others, but I often find these are, you know, handrails that keep me focused, keep me going in the right direction. So tip number one, very brief and to the point, but one not to lose sight of. When it comes to time management, be ruthless with time, but always gracious with people. I think sometimes, how would I say it, you know, too much of anything is not so good. You know, too much time management can perhaps make us a little harsh towards people. So that's why that balance is always useful. You know, you can be harsh or ruthless in managing your own time, but never to the expense of being rude with others. Tip number two, put in time to save time. This is a no-brainer. You know, spending 10 minutes sorting out paperwork or an email inbox or planning the week ahead is time well spent. For me, that's actually how I close the week. I don't want to wait until Monday morning to identify, you know, the actions on the to-do list for the week or my priorities for the week. I'll tend to do that at the close of the previous week. And it's a great way to, you know, to finish the week, to shut down for the weekend, and then you know where you're starting on Monday morning. And despite those Monday morning blues, for many people, myself included, Monday morning is often one of the most efficient times of the week, where we start as we mean to go on, maybe having been a little bit refreshed from the weekend. Tip number three is do the big or the complex tasks first. Do the things that require maximum brain capacity or energy when you're at your best. Closely aligned to that is the thinking around don't postpone unpleasant matters. It's the old phrase of kill the monster when it's a baby. Unpleasant tasks generally do not go away. And the longer you ignore them, the more serious they often become. And often the best time to tackle them is first thing in the morning, so you don't spend the rest of the day thinking about them or worried about them. Next tip is around fixing deadlines and time boxing activities. Now, we operate to deadlines. You know, a project is due by a certain date or a report is due by the end of the week. But time boxing activities is something that often takes us back to when we were doing exams back in school or college days, where maybe you had, a history exam and you had 6 questions to do in 3 hours and you're monitoring your progress. You know, am I halfway there? Have I done 3 questions after 90 minutes? Fixing deadlines and time boxing activities, it just helps to focus the mind, because if we don't, work will fill the vacuum. So if you say, you know, you'll do a task over an afternoon, it'll probably take the whole afternoon. Whereas if you say, right, I'm going to start it at 2 and I'll work through until 3:30, you know, are you halfway there after 45 minutes? You will be more focused and productive. So we don't have to time box all activities, but I certainly do it with some. You know, if it's my monthly accounts, if it's my monthly newsletter, you know, if there's a planning or a brainstorming thing I'm doing, I'm not going to leave it as long as the longest finger. I'm going to have a start and an end time, just so that I'm a little bit more focused with it. Before sharing the rest of these time management tips or distinctions, I just want to take a quick moment and thank you for tuning in. I know I say this every week, but I'm always pleasantly surprised with the feedback, the number of downloads, the fact that these episodes are resonating with people as well. It really means a lot to me, because I have to say the podcast has become a labour of love for me. I look forward to recording the episodes every week and coming up with new topics. Of course, there are many resources on a range of business and personal development topics on my website, jamessweetman.com. If you like to view some videos, there's videos up there as well. So you don't just get to hear my radio voice, you get to see the face too. And in recent times, I've done a few blog posts as well on variations of the theme of time management. So be sure to check those out. So let me keep going with the list. Next little tip, number 5, is to develop a good filing system. Now, I'm showing my age here when I say I started my career 30 years ago in an insurance company. And there was a great manual filing system. There was reference books and indices, and everything was cross-referenced. Nowadays, of course, our filing systems tend to be online. And there's nothing more frustrating or inefficient than wasting time trying to find someone's phone number or a piece of paper or, you know, an email address. It is important to have a filing system, both tangible and online, where you can access information quickly. And that's something that I've put a lot of time and attention into. And I tend to do a good tidy up of that at least twice a year, where, you know, I'll archive old things and just delete many items that are no longer relevant. Next tip, number six, similar-ish to the filing system one, but it's about collecting all your ideas and putting them into one place. This is another way we can use that phrase, ink it, don't just think it. You know, if you want to write something down, you don't have to use up the energy of trying to remember it. And whilst that is true for, you know, actions that you want to take, I think it's perhaps even more true for those fleeting ideas or gems of wisdom that pop in and we want to hold them for, I don't know, to communicate to someone down the road. Or for me, it might be an idea for a podcast or for a blog post, and I want to capture it. In the past, I used to have a notebook, but of course, nowadays with our iPhones, never more than hand's reach away, there's the note function. And that's something I have to go into and clear out every so often because I have hundreds of notes, different ideas and quotes that I come across. So if I'm looking to, I don't know, start something new, I'm not starting with a blank sheet of paper because I've captured my ideas in a place where I can access them. So four more tips to go. This one might sound a little bit harsh on the surface, but let me speak a little bit more widely about it. There are times when maybe rather than making a phone call or returning a phone call, we can consider going straight to the other person's voicemail. This might be possible, you know, depending on your company's internal telephone system, but you can certainly do it when phoning a mobile number. You just put the digit 5 after the 086 or the 087 and, you know, just before their main number. This saves time, especially when you only have a short message to convey. So it's not a substitute for having a conversation with someone when maybe there's a few items to discuss or you're looking to enhance the relationship with them. And of course, you can always communicate via email as well. But it's just another option that's available to us that perhaps sometimes we can overlook. Another little tip is around analysing your interruptions. You know, there was a fascinating study a little while ago carried out by the University of California, where business people were on average interrupted every 11 minutes. And in this study, on average, it took them a further 25 minutes for them to return to the task at hand. And one of the biggest interruptions nowadays, of course, is the constant connectivity with email and messaging. Again, I'm old enough to remember that when we received our post, we got it once a day, and maybe there was a fax of something that was urgent. It sounds like I should be in a museum. Back then, of course, if someone had said to you every time you got an item of post, a bell would ring or a light would flash, they would say you were mad. But of course, that's how many of our devices are configured. Of course, nowadays, too, we get copied in on a lot of emails. If that was the case back in the day, you know, if every item of post that came into the department or office was photocopied for everyone else and a light was flashed and a bell was rung, certainly eyebrows would be raised. But that's the modern equivalent of communication. So if we take some moments just to analyse our interruptions and look at ways of minimising them. So two more quick tips to close. This one, I have to say, is one of the most recent ones I've added to my little repertoire of time management tips, and it's around having themes. This one, to some extent, is role dependent, and it is more practical, I think, when you're at slightly more senior levels where you've more ownership over your time and how you organize your day and your week. But consider, and it's something that I now do, consider having different themes on different days or different themes for different parts of the day. You know, so for example, Monday might be status update day, where you're checking in or scheduling team and project meetings or maybe even one-to-ones. Thursday afternoon might be a learning day where you're catching up for an hour on your reading for the week. Or, you know, Tuesday morning might be email inbox clearing day. Or, you know, Wednesday afternoon stakeholder meetings. So you're putting similar tasks together, which, going back to pure productivity, is perhaps the most efficient way of approaching them. The last little tip is one that I constantly have to keep working on is to, and it might sound a little bit counterintuitive or almost paradoxical, this one, but it's taking a moment to acknowledge progress, because with the nature of time management and organizational skills, we're constantly looking forward to what's next. And that's just the nature of the beast. But can we take a few moments to celebrate the completion of a project, to acknowledge work well done? We all like to have a sense of recognition and a sense of achievement, and it's great when that comes from the outside in terms of feedback from others. But sometimes we have to give it to ourselves and to acknowledge the progress that we're making and that how we're always doing our best. So the last little tip is a little bit of celebration, gratitude, self-recognition. So just before I share a few closing observations with you, a quick recap on those initial foundation blocks of time management and organizational skills. First one, always acknowledging that there will be trade-offs. We want to have consciousness around our decision-making process, and maybe one of those key questions, what's the most important thing for me to focus on right now? Then there was the area of energy management and that acronym of OWNER, taking ownership of our energy. And of course, the third foundation block of having a to-do list, or a variation of a to-do list, maybe a not-to-do list, a to-be list, a to-learn list, or even a today list. And then there's those few little quick tips and distinctions, which hopefully you found useful too. Of course, in this whole, with the nature of time management and organizational skills, as I say, it's always about progression in a direction. Today, more so than ever, other people will be a pull on our time and our energy and our focus. And as a result, we have to actively work on keeping our own priorities in view. That's really what it comes down to. Our own well-being should always be fairly high on our own agenda as well. There are a few truths in this area that I like to not lose sight of. One of them is, you know, if you don't get back to others on a timescale of the other person's choosing and they're angry as a result, you know, that's their choice of response. We all have freedom to choose how we respond. Equally, we cannot control everything, nor will we get everything done. We just have to accept that reality. The unexpected will happen. Whilst there is such a thing, perhaps, as the unpredictable, you know, there's the predictable unpredictables, and then there's just the unpredictable unpredictables. Some occurrences simply cannot be seen. And maybe one of the things we can do there is just to hone our ability to respond, or look at ways of being more proactively reactive if we find ourselves in those scenarios. Of course, as I started by saying, time management, of course, is closely associated with work-life balance. And work-life balance or work-life blend is not static. It's an ongoing, often moment-by-moment discipline. We've all figured out ways to manage our time to the best of our abilities, because as I always say, we're always doing our best. But just as our phones get a software upgrade every few weeks, sometimes our habits around how we organize ourselves require some upgrading as well. So hopefully these tips this week have been of benefit to you. Thank you for tuning in. If you know of anyone who might find this week's tips of interest, please do bring my podcast to their attention. So thank you again, and until next week.